In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
So when we at the school we just left, out of 600 young men, at least 5 of them, their fathers wasn't in their lives. So let me tell you where that come from. That come from a guy that's broken, and he don't really know how to treat women, And then it comes from a woman who's broken and her father wasn't in her life. And so she thinks he cute and he thinks she cute. And then they get together. And watch this. She end up pregnant and he not ready to be no father, no husband. So he like, oh man, now they got baby mama drama. Now she raising a young boy or a young girl and the father ain't there. And then when they grow up, the young boy don't really know how to be a man because his father wasn't in his life. Or if it's a young girl, she don't know the value that she has because her father wasn't in her life. And as soon as she meet a young guy, and as soon as he meet a cute little girl, they get together and the cycle continues. So I want you to know, that's why I took you there. Because I just left a high school with 600 young African-American men and over 500 of them, their fathers are not in their lives. That's the problem. That's why I came to CSU to tell you. When you meet this, I know she cute. But you gotta ask yourself, are you willing to take care of the child? Are you ready to put a ring on it? Is she wife material? Like, do you even know anything about her family? But you horny and you sleep with her and now you help add to the system. So I'm asking myself, where are those 500 fathers? Are they dead? Are they in prison? Did they get married somewhere else and marry another family? Like, where are they? I'm looking at 500 young brothers that don't have a dad in their life. That's a problem. And I'm on a mission to help reverse that curse. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to make the necessary precautions so we not have it here having kids just running around. Like, look, this is God. It's levels to it. And it breaks my heart. I be going to schools. Girls be coming up to me talking about my dad is not in my life. And why don't he love me? And she crying in my chest. And I ain't gonna front. I'm pissed. I'm like, where buddy at? He probably somewhere think he's smooth, think he cute. Somewhere on Instagram, Snapchat, like, you know what I'm saying, kicking it. But his daughter got her face buried in my chest. She's crying. That's the problem. So I'm excited and feel honored to stand before so many young men. But you got to ask yourself, are you ready to really be men? Or do you want to just be adult males? There's a difference. How are you going to be men of honor? Men of valor. Men of substance. Men of integrity. Men that have responsibilities. Men of leadership, that people look at you and you can be trusted to lead them and guide them in the right direction. That type of men. Men that have been trusted with influence. You know what I'm saying? But you say, yo, since I got this number on my chest, since I got this number on my back, since I got this ball in my hand, you know what I'm saying? People look up to me. I'm a role model. It starts now. But you got to start asking yourself, like, yo, how do I get to that point? To where I even want and desire that?
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Hey. We'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles podcast. Now, my man James is taking care of something with Lionel, and A to be on in a minute. But I got some special homegirls in the house with me tonight. I got Red and Brittany from the Cousins podcast.
What's going on?
The homegirls. Yeah. So when I reached out to you guys the other day, or you girls, you gals, you women, the other day, I was having a conversation with one of my partners today, and he suffers from what I like to call toxic masculinity, right? He thinks the man is supposed to do everything, is, you know, the woman's supposed to stay at home in the house and do everything. And then he told me that women are incapable of raising a male, a grown man. I got some of his points, but I disagreed with him on a lot of points too. And so that's why I wanted to get you two in here as mothers, you know. Two mothers, right?
Two mothers
in the house, you know, two black women. And it is normally, in our culture, you do normally see the woman raising the son, kids by themselves, doing everything on their own. Even if the father is involved, but once that father usually leaves the house, everything is on a woman.
It don't have to be. I mean, I have a son. And so his father, me and his father broke up. When he was like two, but I never felt like I could rate like that. I didn't have him to be his dad, like to raise him, like even though he wasn't in the home, like he was there. And that was because I included him in a lot of things, you know.
I'm a single mom, like I had to do it. I do have, my son is 20, and but I did have certain males in his life, though. It wasn't just me per se, but majority of the time it was me. Like, he was in the household with me. But I mean, like my brother, or you know what I mean, like his big cousin or something like that. Like they would step in where there were where I couldn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And that's big, you know, because some people don't have that,
right?
No, a lot of people don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is, it's hard anyway when you have that separation, right? Because now y'all living in two different houses, and one of the parents is gonna be there with that boy full time. And it usually don't start until those little dudes turn around 12, 11 to 12, they start getting tall, they start getting bigger, and they start talking back.
Right. That's
true. Did y'all ever have any difficulty? Because I know I always had a male figure, even though my pops wasn't in the house with me, he was around. Mm-hmm. And I would go see him on, you know, every other weekend or whenever, you know, whenever he wanted to come, whenever I wanted to go out there, I could. But for the most part, all the discipline was going on with my step pops. He was way different than my daddy. When I went with my daddy, I was able to pretty much do what I wanted to because he was out there. He wasn't trying to discipline me when I was out there. My dad was more like a big homeboy mm-hmm. than anything else. There wasn't no discipline going on. If I wanted to drink a beer, I could. If I wanted to stay out at 2 or 3 in the morning, I could. I was doing everything because he didn't have that disciplinarian type of thing going on. He was just so happy to be able to kick it with me. He was letting me do whatever I wanted to. Now, back at home, I had to be in the house at a certain time. I was getting the ass whoopings and everything else when I got out of line. But y'all, so you would say it was necessary to have a man in the house around when you raised the boy?
My son's father and me, we broke up. We separated. So he was with me, but up until his dad was always around, but yeah, when he turned about 15, he went to go stay with his dad in the same city, same school. You know, his dad actually moved up to the city where we were because we lived in the valley. He lived in LA. And we just always had this thing where it was like, okay, when he gets to junior high, he's going to come and be with you. And I felt like what you said, like, you know, they going to puff up. It's just things as a woman, like I just can't teach him or show him or even, you know, get him to understand. At the same time, I think that him, if he would have had the same type of emotional intelligence that I, like if I would have raised him with my emotional intelligence versus him seeing the way his dad handles things, you know, a little bit more logical. Mm-hmm. Not to say that, you know, but women were more emotional. So I think that plays a big role, you know, in how he handles things in life. And sometimes I don't get it still. I'm like, what? You know, so yeah, I think it's important to have a male figure, to have somebody there, like full time. I think it's important.
Yeah, it is very important. And though I don't think, like I'm going to talk about my mom's for a minute. My mom would lay the hands down. My mom's had a nasty hand game. So if I got out of line, she would just punch me in the mouth. She wasn't playing around, right? But it was when at a certain point that I wasn't going for that no more.
So was she a single mother?
You know what? I had my step pops in the house and I had uncles around. So they did most of the discipline and stuff because it did, you know, I think every boy has a tendency when they get to a certain age to swell up a little bit. Because my mama's big thing would be you go wash dishes. You know, you go wake up in the morning, it's Saturday in the morning, and clean up your room. You had chores to do. I would have to cook for my brothers and everything. So after a while, especially when I was around my little homies, I wasn't having that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't having it. And I don't think I was a bad child. I just think men in particular, when a boy is 14, he's a man for all practical purposes. Mm. He's usually physically stronger than his mama. So if he decides to just nut up in there, what does a woman go do? What can she do? And like you said, Britt, it is, you know, you have brothers around, you had other males around, because it do take, because I'm going to tell you, I got two sons, and I had to beat both of their asses at one time. They wasn't bad kids, but I've had to fuck them up a couple of times just to show them, like, you can't make this team yet.
Well, luckily, I haven't had to do that. You know what I'm saying? My kid's pretty, he's pretty, you know, he's pretty chill. Like my main thing with him for me is I want him to experience life and stuff like that and like get like be outside a little bit more. Like he, you know, he's more like he built his own computer. Like he's more into like reading and stuff like that. Like he don't really give a damn about a whole lot of stuff. He just really got on social media. Like he's happy that he got his Twitch and now he's got stuff streaming and stuff like that. But honestly, my son is not really out there like that. So I really haven't had that issue. Now I've been around like friends that do have sons and they tell me this shit and I'd be like, damn, I don't know how I will react because I haven't had that. For me, it's pretty much just I really just want to make sure that he's straight and he knows what he needs to do. You know what I mean? If I ever was to not be here, like I want him to be able to be, you know what I mean? Just responsible and just do the things that he needs to do. But it's hard because I can't really say like everything he needs to do as a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't say that. You feel me? Like I could tell him what I think I would, you know what I mean? But I can't really genuinely say like, son, you need to do this. I could tell him what I like or what, you know, I know other women or girls like or whatever. But no, as a man, how do you do that, you know?
See, both of y'all is cool moms. And you had a cool son. And every kid is different. Like my oldest son, I only had to do that to him one time. I've never had to whoop my oldest son. He was always good, never told lies. My other one, it's like he came out the womb ready to raise hell. You feel what I'm saying? He was just a free spirit. Just from the time he could walk, he was always into some shit. So I definitely would say that my wife couldn't have raised him on her own because he was just too, I'm trying to look for the right word for it because he wasn't a bad kid. Always had good grades, always was a stellar athlete, always did everything he was supposed to do. But he was just very independent and had his mind made up, I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do.
All right.
And nobody's going to stop me.
I got a house full right now, so I'm...
How old are your children?
My son is 18.
Oh, nice.
But half the football team is always here. So I've always got at least 6 or 7 boys in the house. Every day.
Okay.
It's been like that, but I've had kids like that since I've been coaching football for the last 13 years. So I've got kids around here who I've been around since they were 11, 12 years old. So I'm kind of used to, you know, a lot of kids, you know, some kids who dads are not around. I deal with a lot of those. So they're usually at my house every day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, differently than what you were saying, still, you get to a point sometime, I guess, when us, when we are growing up, like you said, we turn 14, 15. We get that courage, I guess, what do you want to say, talk back shit. I was raised in a household, single parent household, but my parents got divorced. Father worked at General Motors. Mother was a registered, you know, certified nursing assistant. So we had the house, you know, mother, father, me and my sister, but we witnessed a lot of domestic violence in my household. So my mom was one of those who, you know, maybe once, maybe twice, but three times, nigga, no. So she left my pops. So my scenery changed, you know. It went from the dad, mom in the household to the single mom moving to the what you call the ghetto, you know. We left Southgate and moved, and I had to move as maybe about a 4 or 5 year old kid. We moved to Compton, and the rest was history. My father wasn't around, you know. It's typical as a lot of kids in my era, drug abuse. You know, domestic violence in the house. I was a 70s kid, so I saw a lot of that. So I was practically raised by my moms, but I got ass whoopings with switches. My mom's was from Gulfport, Mississippi. So I got a lot of that South treatment, you know. I was scared of my mom's growing up, you know. I didn't want to do shit to get out of line because I knew getting out of line, she went outside and got a switch off the tree and you was going to get your ass whooped.
That was good.
So,
how do you think that affects your relationship with women now, like now?
I never had a horrible relationship with women. I've never been physical with women, you know. I think that just came from watching what happened in my household as far as my dad and mom was concerned. So even though I went through the transitions of gang banging and selling dope and all of that, and I never hit on women. I never used to beat on female, argue, whatever, all that shit. But I don't know. It was never my forte. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, growing up in the household with moms and my sister, you know, but then I still had aunties around and, you know, heavy in the church. You know, we had to go to Sunday school and all that type of shit. So I think it kind of put me on the path to where I wanted to be a straight kid. Like you said, you know, your sons, we have different choices nowadays. I didn't really have too many choices. You know, father was gone. Mom struggled. She worked at night. I got influenced by the streets at an early age because my mom's worked from 11 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning. So I was left to the streets, you know, me and my older sister. So it wasn't the fact that my moms couldn't raise me or didn't teach me values, because that's why, you know, I didn't go to the extreme as far as the shit I got into. Because I always used to think in the back of my head, my mom's going to fuck me up if I get caught, or, you know. So, you know, I started gang banging and doing all that shit. And it wasn't necessarily because, you know, you hear the stories of my mom was on dope, my father was gone, I started gang banging and shit as a rebellion of feeling like, you know, it's just what niggas did in my neighborhood and growing up. And then I guess because I didn't have a father around, I started like still saying, getting that little, you know, because father wasn't around. And, you know, 15, 16, I'm seeing dudes slang dope and gang bang. So that gave me a little, you know, it gave me a little attitude as to where, you know, if my moms would tell me something, you know, I don't think I ever got out of line or cussed my mom out or talk shit like that. I just was influenced by the streets. Now, if my father was around, who knows? But my mom tried to do everything that a father would do. She put me in sports when she could, you know, she always participated at school and shit like that. She sent us to a private school, you know, me and my sister. And like we lived in one of the baddest parts of Compton, but so you know,
Your male figures was from the street, or like you didn't have,
I didn't have like, all the family who had transitioned from Mississippi to here, they were all females. There weren't no males here. There were no uncles or big brothers, or, you know, I didn't have none of that. All my family were women. My aunties, I had like four aunties who transitioned from Mississippi to California. So, and they whole family, it was like, what, 7, 8 girls and one boy. So I didn't have uncles influences. My influences came from when moms went to work, you know, the sister boyfriend come over. He from so-and-so. He's selling dope. He won't. When you walk to the store down the street, It's niggas on the corner banging and slanging and, you know, hey, hang with us, my little nigga. Hey, come to the store with us, my little. I didn't have no male figure who was like, don't do that, you know. And my mom's, because she was so busy with trying to raise us and pay the bills, she didn't, if you'd have asked her, oh no, my son don't gangbang. Oh no, my son don't, you know, because at home, I still was the disciplined kid. I wasn't the outrageous kid when I came off the block. You know, I'd go around the house, tuck the gun, tuck the dope, and then come in the house and be, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You get me? I never was like, oh, man, fuck this shit. Up until, I guess when you're a middle child, you start feeling a little, you know, my sister was older. Then my mom's had a young, another child. So I start feeling that middle child shit, you know, he getting shit, she getting shit. So that's what led me to start gangbanging and shit, because I don't know, I was just trying to be rebellious, but I never felt like my mom's did a bad job or like she didn't raise me right. You get me? Because if anything, she tried to instill a lot of shit in me to where I would grow up and be a righteous, you know, man, a human being or whatever. But it was just those, like, I guess it's what you call the obstacles that you would have to go through as sometimes as a young man that you have to figure out. And that's what I did in those transitions of from 16 to 17 of 18, trying to find an identity of who I was going to be, because around me, it was nothing but gangbangers and dope dealers. You know, I lost the interest of being, you know, what my mom tried to instill in me. And I guess that comes from, and I don't know if that would have happened if my father was in the house. You get me?
I mean, does that affect your relationship with other men? Because like I said, to me, I think men are more logical than women. So how do you think that affects your relationship with other men, or how did it affect your relationship with other men?
I didn't have too many relationships with other men as far as, you know, true friends and stuff. It took me until I got older.
Interactions. How do you think it affected your interactions with other men?
I was I really didn't interact with other men, so to speak. I was always guarded, quiet, never wanted to be around. I'm like that today. I don't like going a lot of places. I don't like being around a lot of people. I could count on probably my one hand the male friends I know or have. You get me? So I don't know. I guess it was just being raised by my mom and my father not being around. It didn't give me a resentment towards him, because I still was able to talk to him. I mean, he was living in Oklahoma, got remarried, but, you know, I just felt as I started growing up, anything that transitioned with him had turned into like whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And it took a while for me to communicate with him on a regular, you know. But I never had no resentment to like, man, fuck him and whatever, you know. I was kind of glad he left, because I got tired of seeing my mom's fucked with. You get me? So I didn't have I still used to go over his house. I used to take summer vacations to go see him in Oklahoma. And I think when I got to the point of maybe around 17, 18, and we had a disagreement, I stopped talking to him. I probably didn't talk to him for 10 years. My sister kept in contact with him a lot. And up until he passed in 97, I started communicating with him like probably a year before he passed. But once I started doing my thing and was working and moving around, I just stopped communicating with him.
You know, the interesting thing about that dynamic, Abe, the way we are raised definitely influences the people that we eventually come, because Abe is right. I've known Abe for a long time, and I swear the first year I was just trying, you know, you're trying to get to know somebody, right? And he wouldn't hardly talk. Then the more we came around and started talking, he was actually talking to me and laughing and joking and everything one day. And I was like, okay, I guess I finally get to meet, you know, Aaron now. You feel what I'm saying? So he definitely checks you out first before he's definitely guarded and reserved around people. He don't do a whole lot of talking. You know, now we have conversations, some really good conversations about everything, about fatherhood, about what the boys are doing and everything else. But mine was kind of the opposite. And one of the biggest things I learned to respect about my mom is my father was a very abusive man. But I never heard about that from my mom. I heard about that later on from my uncles as I got older, because they didn't like him for whatever reason. And I would always wonder, why don't you care about my pops? Like, why don't you like him? You always talk a mess about him. And I got an uncle that just let me have it one day and told me that nigga ain't shit. He this and that. One thing I had to fuck him up behind my, you know. And so it made me start looking at my pops a little different, because my mom's my everything. So when I found out about that, and plus he did some dumb shit one time, like my pops still had a lot of maturing to do. And he told me that he apologized in so many words much later on in life, because it got to the point, I don't even have my father's last name. I have my stepfather's last name. So it would be a time that where when he would come out here to California, great grandfather, like we cool and everything. My kids know him as their grandfather and everything. He comes out, we kick it and stuff like that. But we took a ride one day just going to the grocery store up the street. That wound up being a 40-minute ride. I wound up in Riverside somewhere, just wound up, you know, riding and talking to him, because his whole thing would be all the time, why don't you change your last name to such and such? You know you ain't this and that. And it kind of pissed me off a little bit, because I said, hold on. You had a choice. My last name was Munson, which is my mama's maiden name up until I was like 8 years, 9 years old. You had plenty of time during that period to come there and be like, hey, I need my son's last name. I need to have my name on the birth certificate. But you wasn't around because you was hiding, because you thought my mom was trying to get you for child support or whatever. I heard all about it. He was hiding. You couldn't catch him. Hiding in attics, hiding in basements and everything else.
You said this to him.
Yeah, I said it to him. This happened to me. I was maybe 35 at the time. Maybe 35.
Okay. I
was already a grown man, because he kept pressing me over the years, and I got tired of being nice about it. Because it would piss me off. I would be like, man, how dare you? So the man that did raise me, Willie Steele, he's dead right now. There's no way I would dishonor what he did for me by just saying, you know what, fuck what you did for me, Pops. I'm going to change my name, because a lot of who I am like that, my step-pops was 25 years older than my mom. So he was one of them dudes, the dude that drove, had the cigar all the time, or wore the leisure suits and drove the Cadillac, right? But he didn't play no games. Right. He took care of our house. He took care of all the bills. We had everything we wanted. He put us in our first house. But he was always a dude that went to work. So it wasn't no laying up in Will's house. You wouldn't go lay up to 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, yeah, you said your people from Gulfport, eh?
My family was from Gulfport, Mississippi. My father was from Tampa, Florida. So I come from the South. But I correct what I'm do. What I can say is, I don't know if there is and I guess women could, you know, y'all could answer this. Do you feel if, as a single mother, there is a point in time to where, if you have a son, that he needs that male influence to take him to the next level as far as being a man? Do you feel that you need that man figure to be able to raise your son or give him the guidance to be a certain type of man? Or do you feel like, as mama, shit, I got this?
No. Go ahead, Britt.
I mean, I've had this, so, I mean, but I did come to a point in life where I was just like, shit. I think it was when he got about maybe like 14 or 15, maybe, I think. Where I was like, damn, like, certain stuff that he got to be going through, or, you know what I'm saying? And he, my son is like introverted. Like now he's like, now he goes out, he does his thing, he has a little clique, he does whatever. But it took him a while to even do all that. Like I used to sit there and be like, he don't want to go over there. He's like, you lucky. Like, let him be him. He going to do what he do. So
sure, he was an introvert.
Yeah, like he literally, like I said, he was just pretty much like into his computers and just reading and like stuff like that. He really wasn't like, he'll come and socialize with the family for a minute, like whatever, but
that's when, I mean, you were sending them down to Papa's house for me. So he had male influences.
Right. So my brother is living out here, lives in Diego, but whenever he gets a chance, but then they talk like, you know, FaceTime or whatever, like they talk or whatever. Or like if I felt some type of way, I'd be like, I'll call my brother, like, hey, like, what should I do? And he'd be like, I'm gonna call him. You know what I'm saying? So my brother like really helped me a lot in that situation. Like his dad was there, but his dad, I think that his dad doesn't, I don't think that he was really taught really how to, I don't know, I want to say be a father, but he just really doesn't, he don't really talk that much.
I think a lot of us, I was a young father. Mm-hmm. I had my first kid when I was 17. I just started rapping, still gang banging, still trying to be in the streets. So I don't think that I was ready to be a father, you know, as far as I didn't know shit. You get me? I didn't know. And not being raised by a father, basically, shit, what am I supposed to do as a father when, shit, my father left when I was like, shit, 5, 6. You know, everything I saw my mother do, you know. So when I had my first kid, my daughter, you know, I tried to do stuff that I knew my dad didn't do, right? But it was a hard, and then she was a girl. So, you know, mama was there, mama, whatever. So, but when I had my son, knowing that my father wasn't around, did that influence me more to want to be a gang, join a gang and sell dope and be on the negative, even though my mom's tried to do everything she could. Like, she tried to do everything she could. But when me and his mom, you know, separated, whatever, my first thing was, I'm going to take him to stay with me. He was what? We tried to stay together, I don't know, from the time he was born. Because, I don't know, I think I wanted to have him have the sense of family, right? You know, maybe his life will turn a little differently than the struggle I went through of having a single mom in the house. So, you know, we moved in together, and, you know, from the time he was born to the time he was about 8 years old, you know, we did everything. Enrolled him in sports, school programs, all that. Moved all the way out of the city, maybe an hour and a half outside of LA. Mm-hmm. I was feeling like maybe this could lead to a difference. And then so when we separated and it was time for us to go our separate ways, I took him with me. He was 11 and he's been with me ever since. And from the time he was 5, I signed him up for football and I started coaching and, you know, everything that had something to do with him. And as far as representing as a father, I tried to do that because I didn't have that. So I figured maybe that would make a different path for him and would teach him differently than how I was towards, you know, females coming up or whatever. So I can say he's totally different than what I was as a teenager. You get me? He stays in the house. He has friends. He plays sports. You know, he no trouble, never gotten in any fights or anything like that. So I just tried to feel like maybe, you know, the influence of trying to have a father in the household, it helps some. It gives the kids a little more, you know, with, it's always good to have both parents in the kids' life. And you don't have to necessarily be together, but I do think that, you know, there's a lot of strong women out here who can do it on their own. But just the influence of having that strong male figure, because like I said, I've seen a lot of kids coming through football who dads never came to practice. You get me? And I would wonder how that would make kids feel, you know, seeing that I'm with my son 24/7. You get me? Whether it's taking him to school, picking him up from school, taking him to practice, picking him up for practice. I just wanted to show the presence, because back in my days, like I said, a lot of us who didn't know how to be fathers was absent. Yes, and we got girls pregnant back then, and wasn't like we were, some niggas was living down the street, you know, around the corner. It's just that niggas didn't know how to be fathers. We wasn't taught. So a lot of women had to raise kids on their own. And a lot of, like, I would never, like, again, I would never say that a woman couldn't raise a man, but there were certain things that a man could teach a you know, his son that a woman couldn't do. But my mom's was a single mom. So I would never be in the position to say that a woman couldn't raise a man, because shit, I didn't come out soft or nothing like that. My mama was hard on me growing up.
Well, you know, women have hard. Definitely proven throughout history that they are capable of raising men, because we are a result of that. Even though I did have strong men, I'm going to go back to something you said. Hey, I think that with men, we either go one or two ways. If we had a horrible male figure in our life, we usually transfer that pain over. You got some guys that transfer that pain, they become even worse than their father was. And you got guys like me and eight that said, you know what? I was always the half brother in the house. Like pops, my mom had kids. You know, my two brothers had the same daddy. I always felt kind of left out a little bit. And I think that's why he gave me his last name. That made me feel a little bit better. But in the back of my mind, I still knew, man, I wish I could be in a house, man, where we all had the same father, because in reality, I should sit back and wish that that was my father, because he just carried himself in a certain way. Like he always had a bankroll. He was always sharp, but he always went to work. He didn't do no illegal. He wasn't with no illegal activity. Mm-hmm. He said, if you want something, you get up and work for it. So that was my role model. So when I had my kids and when I met my woman, that's my wife now, I kind of said, man, against all odds, I'm going to make my family work. I'm going to be with this one woman my whole life, and that's my son. If we have more kids, I don't care if she can't stand me. We used to be having kids together. You feel what I'm saying? We just going to keep this family together, because I never wanted my family and I never wanted my kids to feel like, you know, if she got with somebody else later on, that they was the one outside looking in, kind of. You feel me? So I've always made sure to overly be there for my kids and be, because see, one thing that my pops wasn't, my step-pops, he didn't believe in no kind of emotion. Like, he wasn't the type that was going to give you no hug. His way of showing you he loved you was by paying them bills and making sure you had food on the table. He wasn't going to do all that stuff. But he did let you know, I knew later on, because when he died, I hadn't talked to him in about probably like 8 years. I had my own issues because he did used to whoop my ass. But me looking back at it, it wasn't just me, because he whooped my brother's ass too. That was just his get down, right? So I was kind of mad about some things. And he was on his deathbed, and they was telling me he couldn't talk. And it took me a lot to call him. But when I called him, his wife had said, this is amazing, because this is the first time he's actually been able to talk to you. You know that man died 3 hours after he talked to me?
I believe it.
So he was waiting to talk to me. It was like, because he kept saying, because he the only one to call me Norman. Tell Norman to call me. I don't know what I did to him for him not to call me. And I would always have intentions, but you always got excuses like I'm too busy. And the way I was still that scared little kid, I used to be scared of pops, man. Pops didn't play no games, and it wasn't no negotiating your way out of nothing, because he would whoop your ass with whatever was around. If an extension cord to a lamppost around, I don't see them snatch cords off of lamps from the back of TVs and everything else. I'm like, damn, break it, then he could take his belt off in one swoop, baby. He would just reach down and just one swoop, his belt coming off. And I would just be like, damn, this dude didn't have no mercy. But I look back at it. That's why a lot of my friends that didn't have that discipline, that was running around on the east side, they dead. They wound up dead. I saw friends getting hauled off to prison at 16, at 15, 8. You don't see that same stuff, eh?
Yeah, it's like I said, you have some situations to where you just didn't have mamas who didn't give a damn. If you had them single families and you knew the knucklehead niggas in the neighborhood and the females who was on the wrong path, I'm just thankful that I had a strong moms who would not let us, you know, go down that wrong path. I can't say I was the straightest kid. You get me? I got into some trouble.
I mean, yes.
You know, and I don't necessarily think that's because my father wasn't around. I was just a kid who I was smart, but then I played dumb. You get me? I was smart, but then I played dumb because I knew damn well some of the shit I did was going to get me in trouble, but that wasn't because I didn't have the right upbringing. Shit, that's just because I wanted to be a motherfucking curious, dumb kid, you know?
Let me ask you, so sorry to cut you off, Abe, but let me ask y'all this because I just thought about this, right? You know, you got a lot of women that don't want the baby's daddy around at all, and they take the kid from the, you know, they take the kid and pretty much go into hiding or whatever. Now, sometimes I'm against that. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes if that motherfucker is abusive and just don't mean no damn good, I think sometimes it is best that he's excommunicated from the kid's life. Because sometimes them type of niggas can do more harm than good.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like you said, you could either get it to where they're going to mimic that shit later, or they may do the opposite. Like my brother, he vowed that he wasn't going to be like my father. Like my father was a good dude. He just had like demons, you know what I'm saying? He was an alcoholic or whatever. And he wasn't always like that, but you know, once he got out of jail and stuff like that, he just turned to liquor and stuff like that. So he really wasn't able to really be there for us like, you know, he should have, you know? So my brother, you know, he did have a lot of resentment for that when we were younger and shit. Like he was like, I'm running away and stuff like that. And I'll have to go chase him. Like, you ain't going nowhere. What are you talking about? You running away, you know? Stuff like that. But now, you know what I mean? He's a father. He's married. He's been married for 20 years. He got two kids, and he's at every basketball game, whatever, like football, whatever someone do. Like, he did total opposite. So you can have those things where sometimes you may be a bad influence, and you may be like, oh, hell no, I'm never going to be like that. I'm never going to make my child feel that way or never be that way. Or then you may be like, well, shit, this is how it was supposed to be. So I'm be how I was, you know, I was taught. So it can be.
I mean, I never, like I said, yeah, you can flip that shit. You can take a bad situation, and if you have the right attitude and the common sense to, I ain't gonna be like that. I'm gonna be different. You know, I never, I probably can't even never recall the time where my pops told me he loved me. Mm-hmm. Never. But I make sure every day when my son go to school to tell him I love him. And that shit is crazy because I don't want him growing up to feel like my pops was just hard as a motherfucker, you know. My pops used to gang bang, and he's known for making them records and being in the movies, and he was just hard. And started realizing, like, man, you got to change the narrative. Because I was sitting down talking to somebody one day, and I was like, oh, no, we didn't do that shit. You know, well, nobody sitting around the house talking about, you know, we getting ready to leave and go out to the hood or something. And the motherfucker be like, all right, be careful. I love you. We didn't do that shit in my household. It was shit. I mean, we just didn't do it. You get me? Not that it wasn't love, because I talk to my mom every day. And every time we get off the phone, it's like, okay, I love you. Okay, I love you too. But me growing up in Compton and gang infested and moms, you know, going through the divorce and all that other shit, and we living in the hood and all, but nobody talking about I love you in my motherfucking household. It was just like, be careful, watch out, and knowing the situation. So from what I seen growing up, as I said, I have to change that narrative. So, you know, anytime my son would get ready to go play his football game on Friday nights, I make sure I send him a long text message and at the end tell him I love him no matter what happens, you know, tonight. And I never told my pops, hey, I love you too, but he would no problem. Hey, I love you too, pops, and whatever, whatever. So it's starting to change the narrative of what I saw and what I grew up as and saw in my household, that I want him to take that to be differently, because you can change that. I didn't have to grow up and be the alcoholic. Let me, you know, abuse my woman and then have my kids scared of me and crazy and dominating the household. I didn't want that. I wanted my kids to feel comfortable and loved, and the shit that people see on TV, like, you know, oh, we do that shit too here. Oh, yeah, I tell my kids we love them, and yeah, we got Christmas lights on the house and Santa Claus floats in the front yard and all that shit. You know, I want to give them the sense of being normal too and not being that different narrative of the black household. You get me? The father who left or don't never tell the kids he love them and it's just hard. And well, I grew up from Compton and we gang bang and you ain't supposed to tell a motherfucker you love them and that type of shit. So, you know, you just have to be different, man. I think, you know, you got to take from what you seen or what you saw growing up in your household and what your father might have done or mother might have done. And you just have to change that for the better. I mean, because we got so much resources and shit that we can, that we don't have to live the way that they did or what we saw. So that's why I say you can never put anybody in the position of saying, being a single mother, father, or whatever, man, you just have to be able to raise the kids right and put them on the path of being better than the situation of what you came with. Because, you know, I feel I came up pretty hard. So I didn't want my kids to have to come up like that.
Yeah, for real, for real. How was your relationship with your pops coming up? Because we always talk about the, you know, man's relationship with the mama. I know daughters and their fathers are typically pretty close, right?
Yeah, I had a relationship with my dad. He was... him and my mom was married. They divorced when I was like two. My dad, you know, he was an alcoholic. He was out, like, just out there. My mom would actually like drop me off over to his sister's house because she knew he would kind of be around, you know, and she still wanted me to be able to like see him. So my dad, he was a bum at one point where I would play checkers with him or just like, you know, he'll be around in the neighborhood and kids would be like, oh, that, you know, that's your dad or whatever. But he got himself together and he stepped up. I had to go live with him. At one point, he left. And when he came back, my mom was in a situation where I needed to go live with him. And we had a good relationship. My dad, though, was very like, I think I only got one. I don't even think I got a whooping. Like he hit me like once and he cried about it. Like my dad was very like, I pretty much got to do what I wanted. I lived with my mom, my stepdad, he was, we got into it many a times. We bumped heads many a times, you know, he was one of those street dudes that was like in the streets or whatever, you know, always, treated me as his daughter, and I have a sister by him, but it was too different. Like he was tough, not like tough, but he was tough. Whereas my dad, like, it was like, he ain't about to do nothing. Like, but he was in my life, you know, They're both in my life. So my kids, they have like, I have two moms, stepmom, my mom, you know, my two dads. I just didn't have a grandfather living.
That's how it is in my house too. I think that's just a black household thing, because my kids got they friends just ask them like, yeah, I got two grandpas, I got three grandpas.
Yeah, like, you know,
that's just how it is, you know. And I noticed Britt, you over there trying to hide. Britt, what's going on with you and your pop's relationship? Because you was like, you going ahead.
No, I'm not trying to hide. No, me and my pops was cool. We had a cool relationship. My pops was just really like, My pops was crazy as fuck. Like, he was that person to be like, I fight where I get mad at. Like, he was just crazy. But he was, I was the only girl. Like, he had, you know, boys, like all boys. I'm the only girl. I'm the oldest, but I'm the only girl. So I'm always, was always the baby girl. Like, I didn't get punished and whoopings and stuff like the boys did. It wasn't happening. No, you just go upstairs. Like, you know, I was the princess, you know? Yeah. So we did have a cool relationship. Like, did I wish that he was, you know, him and my mom is crazy. My mom, my dad, they met when they were like 11 and 12. They had me at 16. 2 weeks later, my mom turned 17. My dad turned 18. I literally, like, it was crazy. So he really didn't know, like Abe was saying, like, he really didn't know, like, you know, how to be a father. Like, he was shit. Now he's trying to take care of family. Then 4 years later, then my brother comes, you know what I'm saying? Then he gets married to my mom. They're, like, hella young, trying to hold it down or whatever like that. And they just didn't, they lost their way for a second, you know what I'm saying? And then they both came back full circle. But unfortunately, like, you know, he passed away. But when he always would say, like, you know, you baby girl, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, you treat it such, whatever. So, like, we did have a good relationship.
That's dope. You know, and I think the father is very underrated because, like you said, I think you turn out to be the person you are. I think your mom got a real big influence on you, but the older I get, I think is how your relationship was with your father. I know for us as men anyway, for you guys, it may be more of how your relationship is with your mama, you know? But I think for men especially, we base our lives and we become who we are based on our relationship with our dad, because a lot of things, I just knew I didn't want to be sorry. I didn't want to make no fake-ass promises to my kid, because I remember being a little kid, we stayed like in the basement apartment. And the basement apartment, you know, you got the windows up here, you know, you see the ground. Mm-hmm. And the thing, and it would be a Friday, and, you know, I would be waiting for my dad to come. I remember I would go get my bags. I would get them brown grocery bags and put my clothes and stuff in it. And I would have me a little book in there, my comic book, so I'd go, okay, for the ride, this house is far, so I'll be prepared, right? And, man, I remember I was sitting on the couch. He's supposed to be there at 5 o'clock, 5:30 hit, 6 o'clock hit. And my mama just there looking at me. She's like, baby, let me go put your clothes and thing. No, my daddy go come. I got my coat on and my little boots on and stuff. No, I don't want to go to sleep. And I remember I would go to sleep on that couch waiting for that nigga. And then he wouldn't come. I would be so sad. And then it would be like, during the time I was asleep, he don't came and gave my mom $5 or $10 for me and think that that's, you know, like. And so I see him a month later. Oh, did you get the money I gave you? It's like, man, I ain't thinking about that money. I want to come and kick it with you. I just want to be with my dad. And he did that to me so much to where it got to the point to where I couldn't stand that dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I really didn't like him. And he would come and try to get me when I got like 13 or 14. I'd be like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And then during that period, I remember it was a period to where he called the house and I picked up the phone upstairs. And he was cussing my mom out, like calling her all out her name. You got to think, my mom got a husband. And so he getting mad. You know, people get to grabbing pistols and stuff. And I go do this and that, you know. So I was mad at him about that because he let me see that old ignorant ass side of him. You feel what I'm saying? Just something you should never do in front of your kids. You know what I mean? He calling my mom out of her name and I'm cussing him out. And it just got real crazy. And even still to this day, I have to work with that, forgiving them, because sometimes me be around and be saying stuff like I try to call the shot, I had to remind them, like, man, you ain't got the right to be doing all that, homie. You cool that you here, but you don't calm down.
Yeah, you remember, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you remember, and I told them, like, the last time we got together, and I don't like to live in the past. I just don't think it's healthy to live in the past. I think it's, you need to forgive people for you, because when you harbor and bottle up all that energy, it's just bad for you. And you wind up becoming the person you don't want to be. So I've forgiven them for a lot of things, but I don't forget, because I think it's some stuff that you should have to be punished for and remember in your mind that you fucked up. I think people need to be careful about who they go lay up and have kids with. You know what I mean? I think that's a very important thing, even if you don't wind up with a person. I just think you impacted to somebody else's life. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate y'all coming on and having this deep discussion with us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, y'all probably thought Y'all probably thought we was going to be on here trying to go back and forth. Those women that don't let men see their kids, I think they go deal with something later on in life on their own, because eventually that kid will get older and want to see his daddy anyway.
Oh, yeah. I think it's important for, you know, that relationship to bloom. Like, there's no reason to, like, keep in domestic violence situations where they're hurting the kids. Yeah, but no. Why are you keeping this kid away from their father? I think it's hurting them, but it's not. It's hurting the kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hurting the kid for real. So y'all back to doing y'all podcast again full time. I know y'all be on there on no ceilings but glasses every week. Is y'all back up and running yet?
We haven't started recording our show yet. So we've been talking about it. We got
we on it.
Yeah. So
y'all need to do something. Hey, don't nobody talk shit like these girls. They talk gang of shit. They being nice. They being nice tonight, but they ass be talking a gang of shit.
Yeah, I be catching them on the night when there's some shit talking to go about.
Hell yeah. Well, I know it's late. I'm going to let y'all go. I appreciate that. Where can people find y'all at?
You can follow us at The Real Cousins. Just The Real Cousins everywhere.
And y'all heard it here first. They crazy as a motherfucker. Check them out. And we out of here.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeart Media Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.